given a spotlight hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We're here at the at the Freed Life Celebration Home. We've got a fantastic broadcast. John Freed, who's been the proprietor here for many decades. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's great to have you. It's great to be in your this place is absolutely incredible. Peggy Jansen, our co-host and producer. How are you, Peggy?
Wonderful.
And of course, we have Chief Pat Malloy on the program. Chief, how are you, sir? I'm
doing very well. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to be here. And so the topic of today's show is, we're going to talk about the Halloween Safety Night, the Givenish Halloween Safety Night, which is a tradition. And so before we bring the chief into the program, first of all, John, if you would, okay, a little bit about yourself and the history at the location.
Well, my grandfather, Edwin Thies, started this business in 1937 in West Oak Lane. We moved to the current location in Glenside on Eastern Road in 1939. We've been here since then. After he ran it, my dad ran it. When he was killed, my mom ran it. I bought it from her. I had it for about 25 years. I partnered with Givenish in 2023, and it is now the Freed Givenish Life Celebration Home.
And so the location looks incredible. I mean, this place...
They have done a wonderful job.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's just, I think I have been here one time, and it wasn't long. It was nice when I was here, for crying out loud. So it looks fantastic. Peggy Jansen, if you will, this is obviously an important show to you, and we appreciate you producing the show and putting everything together, as always. Talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, again, first, thanks to John Givenish, president of the company, who allows us to have this platform every month. As you know, we try to bring on like-minded people who are doing good out in the community. So today kind of ties into what we do, which is so much more than just provide funeral services before, during, and after folks' time is of need. So we do a lot of things out in the community. One of them is this Halloween Safety Night, which we have at several of our locations, and we'll get into that when we're in more into the show. But right now we have Chief Malloy, who is chief of Abington Police Department, and he's going to be able to talk to us about their affiliation with us and how they're going to be involved in it. And then John Freed is more than a presence here. Obviously, he's a previous owner, but as he said, he merged with the Givenish family, and they continue to give back to the community. We're also going to have a representative from Weldon Fire Company with us today. And again, we're just going to touch on the fact that we do so much more than provide services for families, but we are trying to be more of a welcoming home to let folks see that we're here for them throughout the year.
And when we talk about, and we're going to bring the chief back in fairly shortly, but Givenish's commitment to the community, but also law enforcement is a big part of, what Givenish does in the community.
Correct.
Talk about that, because the synergy is very important. It's a big part of...
I'm sure that a lot of our listeners see us frequently on television covering a lot of the police and fire services. We have a great affiliation with them. We're proud of the work that they do, and we honor them on a daily basis, and we welcome them into our homes, not just in their time of need, but just if they need to talk or personally they need us for anything. We have a great, like I said, synergy with them, and we like to share what they do, not just in their daily job, but as Chief Malloy will explain today, there's so much more that they're involved in it than that they do for the community.
John, you're a big part of the community here. Obviously, you've provided services for a long time. Talk about, especially the merger, the synergy there, because I'm assuming that it was very important to you when you were, obviously making that decision.
It was important to me to keep my family legacy going. So when John told me that it would be Freed Givenish and not the other way around, that was very important to me. I've got my grandfather and my parents' pictures up on the wall here, alongside of John's father's picture. So it provides a continuity,
yes,
between the Givenish and Freed legacies, where they came from, and this location is where it's going.
And when you say continuity, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The synergy, you know, obviously is there. You being having a commitment to the community and giving us also. So in other words, that had to be important to you, that you were, in a sense, extending that legacy, you know, within the community, with the same type of, like you said, continuity.
Absolutely. His reputation precedes him. Hopefully mine precedes me, and they just worked together. The way he does interact with law enforcement, I've been a member of Weldon Fire Company for 47 years, so I also, you know, give back to the community. And that also just meshed as well.
So today we're going to talk about the Halloween Safety Night. Peggy, if you would talk a little bit about that.
The Halloween Safety Night is something that came actually through the Kraft Givnish Funeral Home, was one of the first to originate it, which is another one of our homes. I'm not sure if our listeners are aware, but we own 14 funeral homes. And as John said, though, I really want to touch base on that because it's a credit to John Freed that just as he is very particular on who he decided to merge with, so is Givnish, because we like to make sure that the mindset is of the same. We're not just funeral home operators to help families, you know, at their time of need. If you know anything about Givnish and life celebration homes, including Freed, we're all about helping families before, during, and after. Halloween Safety Night just being one of the things that we do. But again, back to John Freed's credit, my position here is I run all 14's pre-need, which is folks who talk to us before the need. So my job is to constantly reach out in the community and allow folks to be educated on things that they're going to have to deal with sometime in their life for themselves or a family member, and try to make that burden a little bit easier. Try to leave the family a blessing rather than a burden, and talk before they need us. And to John Freed's credit, when I talk with his families, because one of the things we're proud of is that after we provide services, we don't just, you pay the bill and you never hear from us. I personally call every single family, which is about 2,600 families a year, just to see how they're doing, make sure everything was okay, anything else that they need. And one thing that resonates constantly when I talk with John's families are, I'm so glad John is still there. And that's so important because he's very well loved and liked in the community. And the last thing we want families to ever hear when you hear anything about a life celebration home is, if it was previously owned, that owner is more than involved and has more than a voice. It is truly a merger. And I think John can attest to that. And I'm proud that when I call our families, I'm able to say, yes, because sometimes people have a misconception. They'll be like, oh, I heard that, you know, Freed was bought out or something. I'm like, no, actually, John merged with the Givnish family. He's there on a daily basis. Did you want to speak with him? And they love that, because just like every other industry has changed, so is the funeral home. It's not like the old days where it's generational, that the grandfather passed it to the son who passed it to his son. You know, people have different skill sets, and they don't maybe want to be in the family business, but John and previous owners still want to be very much involved. It gives them the opportunity to do that.
And I'll tell you what's amazing. So I live in East Falls, and unfortunately, one of the places in our neighborhood, it's personal. You know everybody, okay? And they did not upgrade. So I remember, this is, you know, and it does get a little personal for me, because my mother, when she passed, was laid out, and her services were in the neighborhood. It wasn't the same place, because the owner of that, he passed on, and his wife, awesome lady, but not my father. You know, we did his service at Givnish, and the first time we actually did a show, I literally, you know, the funeral director, you remember when we were talking about it, she started to talk about what you guys do here, okay? And John, because it's personal and it's a family oriented, I started to bawl, because I understood how much what you guys
how
do
different
here.
We are.
You know, what's amazing is, I'm sorry, you have no idea how right you are, because I remember, and my family went through a hard circumstance with my father, it literally changed everything. And I mean, even today. So I really appreciate you, John, for having us here.
Thank you.
And what you've done, the big part of the community, you know, that is here in the synergy of this relationship and partnership.
And being welcome to it. You know, like, face it, John is used to being the big chief. He's the owner. He's the face of the place. But very humbly, he's a smart businessman. He realizes, you know what? Yeah, I'd love to update the place, and I'd love to be able to provide better services and more parking for our families. So he made that smart business decision, but he also works well with everyone within the company to realize we're all here for the same thing, to provide the best services for our family. And I'm so glad that he welcomes that, you know, mindset. Well,
What's great about it is that, when I came in, even when I pulled up, it's so impressive. I mean, like, the location, and I do believe Life Celebration, okay? I mean, listen, it is fantastic to know that when you live in an area, okay, that family feel is going to continue forever, because it's a tradition. It's part of our life. John, listen, I want to thank you so much for inviting us.
You're very welcome.
Into the place and what you do on a daily basis. John Fried, everybody, really appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're going to have more from the Givenness Spotlight Hour in just a minute.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above, to the tiniest insects in the soil below. You take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests. And without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Give Me Spotlight Hour here on WWDB. We are on the location at the Fried Givenish Life Celebration Home. I want to thank John Fried for being a gracious host and John Givenish, of course, for making it all happen. Fantastic discussion. Let me bring in to the program Chief Pat Malloy of the Abington Police Department. Chief, first of all, welcome back into the program. We have, it turns out, you know, we kind of hail from the same areas. Yeah. And so talk a little bit about your career path and what has brought you to this point in where you're at.
Yeah. So I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, the Oxford Circle section. And I think the nuns and the priests at St. Martin of Tours and other role models in the police department in Philadelphia sort of inspired me to want to be a public servant and quite specifically a crime fighter and a protector, a peacemaker. So all of my life as a young kid, I knew that I wanted to go into either the Philadelphia Police Academy, but I wanted to pursue a career in law enforcement. So waiting from Cardinal Dougherty High School, I entered St. Joseph's University, studied criminal justice and political science, and then started taking tests. And I wound up here in Abington Township, and I couldn't have landed in a better community where we have such a history of community engagement. The hallmark of our police department is actually community policing philosophy, problem solving, not to mention the great work that my detectives and my patrol division and our community policing division do. So I just was always looking for an opportunity to give back, and so that's where I came
from. Well, and it's interesting, obviously, like in any, you know, whether it's technology, whether it's the, you know, funeral home, whether, things develop and they take different shapes. Certainly, we had you know, we've had a lot of police leadership on the program over the years, even on our labor show, same thing. And certainly, you know, you change, obviously, with the time. And now, okay, the importance of community engagement. And it's always been a priority. But talk about that priority, especially, you know, obviously, over the last several years with the pandemic, with, you know, everything that's gone on with social justice and all those things and the craziness of a lot of the things that have gone on. You know, if you only read the papers, you know, and you don't actually stick your, you know, head out your own window, okay, you could have all kinds of misleading stuff. And it's important for the police to get out into the community to let everybody know, we're here to protect you, and you know we're doing the absolute best job possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this has probably been the most challenging times in law enforcement post George Floyd, when I characterize this as an overcorrection in social justice, where bail reform and other things that made sense to keep our communities safe were completely eliminated. So I think, you know, recruitment, for example, we had 700 people apply for four or five positions 2019. We're down to 200, which is 100% more than dozens of police departments. So we're still fortunate, but those numbers, we're not attracting, no matter what the pay or benefit. People want purpose, just like you heard from the Givnish family here. You want to believe that the work that you're doing means something. And when you don't have the support of the district attorney, we have seen an uptick in crime in Abington Township, but thanks to the proactive policing, excellent work that our officers are doing and our district attorney, we're fighting back, we're getting guns off the street, and we're doing the right thing on behalf of our citizens, because I think I have an obligation to speak up when these things, this is not political, this is just about common sense, professional policing, and I can't do my job properly if I don't do everything I can to influence policies.
Absolutely.
John, talking about the synergy that we have with police departments, and in particular what you just touched on, which is trying to rebuild the relationship and the conception of what police do and the great work that they do. So part of the reason that we do things like Halloween Safety Night is to let our younger people know just the, you know, you just talked about the recruitment. Well, where does that start from at a young age? And face it, these kids are watching TV just like their parents are. So they're seeing the same things we are, the misconceptions. So by having something like a Halloween Safety Night or any of the other awesome functions that we work together with, these younger children are starting to see you in a different light. And maybe some of those will aspire to get into the same, you know, line of work as Chief Pat Malloy.
Yep, Peggy, that's a great point, because, you know, we are fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers.
And grandparents.
Yeah, I have four grandchildren. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that unites us than divides us. But there are a segment of people out there that just want to perpetuate a myth. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned in being a vice president of the Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police, having had the opportunity to work with law enforcement throughout the country, that this is a very noble profession. And Givnish, John Givnish, Bill Cleary, who also serves on our PAL board and had a long relationship with John Freed, they partnered with us to break down those barriers, where these young people in the community will see us in a non-confrontational setting. You know, we bring canine to these events. We have our traffic safety officers. We bring out flashlights. And we just, that engagement with the parents and the kids, whether it's at the PAL Center on Friday, Saturday night, where Bill Cleary learned that we needed a piece of technology that was broken, and he reached into his own pocket and purchased some Xbox thing for the people in the community. But that's so important. I think we need to meet these young people where they are, and try to let them see us as peacemakers and members of a very noble profession, that we want nothing more than what everybody else wants in the community: peace, justice, fairness, and we're fighting back against that. Mm-hmm. And the Givnish family, John and Peggy and Bill Cleary, and all of you have been very helpful in helping us with that mission.
And so let's, and I couldn't have said it better, Chief. And I guess my point is, in a sense, the individuals at this table, because times are always changing, we're all changing with the, you know, in other words, we're moving forward and accommodating the, you know, the next generation, and in your world, Chief, you know, like literally community outreach and reestablishing a relationship, you're in a sense competing with the media, for crying out loud, and a lot of the a lot of those situations, and we're obviously proud to be a mouthpiece here because, you know, and we're of course not going to go down that air because we could do seven shows on that. But
yes,
I love what you're saying, particularly as we talk about the community events. Let's talk about the Halloween safety night. Peggy, if you real quick, a little bit of the history and the number of events, and then we'll bring in Chief's role in it.
As I said, Halloween Safety Night was something that originated at one of our locations in Abington, the Kraft Givnish on 1801 Old York Road in Abington. But we also have them at the John F. Givnish, which is on Academy Road, the Freed Givnish, of course, which we're recording from today, the Beck Givnish on New Falls Road in Levittown, and the McGee on Belmont Avenue in Southampton. All of these events take place on Friday, October 25th, and they take place from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. And the purpose of it is to provide a free event to educate the parents and the children about Halloween and neighborhood safety, especially as Chief Malloy will attest to now more than ever, all about the safety and some of the things maybe he's come across that we need to make our young children aware of to look out for. And we'll also be giving out free candy, Halloween safety kits.
Whoa.
Oh, we got a lot of goodies.
Hold on, I'll be there.
And let me, wait a minute. And may I give a huge shout out to Deb Wilson Carter. She is John Givnish's right-hand gal in the sense that anytime we have any of these events, she is the person behind it all, putting together these kits, making sure all the locations have pumpkins and something else that we'll talk about in another show, but we do tree lightings. Like, this is just one of many events we do. But any event you ever hear from Life Celebration by Givnish, Deb Wilson Carter is responsible. So getting back to the goodies, we'll be giving out free candy, Halloween safety kits, which include trick-or-treat bags, flashlights, glow-in-the-dark necklaces, and much more. And we'll also have a bunch of fun games, prizes, refreshments, pumpkins for the kids to paint. So I don't know about you, but it sounds like a good time, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And Chief, and it does. And the flyer is is explanatory, and that's talk about the role of the police department in that particular event in regards to what your goals are, what your purpose is.
Said you bring a dog.
Yes, we have a therapy dog that we added to the ranks a couple years ago, who's there when kids experience trauma or just another way to connect with the community. We have a new motorcycle unit. I think people like dogs and motorcycles mm-hmm. more than cops. So that is just these will show up on location. And what we try to stress, especially I think over my 30-year career, I seem to remember more pedestrians being struck during this time of year because it gets darker earlier. And God knows kids, if they're out without reflective clothing, not carrying flashlights, darting out between two cars, generally – It's the pedestrians' fault in these accidents. You hate to say that, mm-hmm. but most times these accidents can be avoided. But this night in Abington, it's very crowded out there, a lot of kids, and we just ask them to stay with their parents and or an adult, a chaperone, stick together, wear some of the reflective things that will be given out, I think flashlights, and just use good common sense.
And it's interesting because I was putting together, you know, a list of things last night. The first thing I thought of it was kids running across the street, what's amazing is a lot of these events, Halloween starts at like 5 o'clock. A lot of people are just getting home from work. They're zooming to get to their park, and so that has to be, I've just common sense would say, okay, you know, that has to be a number one area where you're telling people to be cautious.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm. It's people coming home from work, and we have more pedestrians out in the street, and that's not normal for 5 o'clock in the evening.
No.
So that's where we stress, safety, pedestrian safety on the crosswalks. And
Chief, I'm sure that you this is a great event for a couple of reasons, one of which is these children aren't going to just show up at the event by themselves. The parents are going to accompany them. And parents, and I'm sure you can relate to this, they need to take just as much responsibility. In other words, okay, maybe the five kids walking in front of you aren't with your group, but you're the adult. And if you see them getting ready, like, everybody needs to help each other. It has to be more of a – and back in the day, I feel like it was more like that. Now everyone's afraid to, like, don't touch on my kid. You know, I'll just – we're all here to help each other. No one wants to see a child get hurt or in harm's way. So I just feel like it's a great time for parents to be reminded of some of the common sense, but just a reminder about some of the safety factors, especially on a night like Halloween.
Peggy, that's a great point. We call them natural guardians that are out at that time. And yeah, we should be looking out, you know, we should be, it takes a village. You need to be your brother, sister's keeper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's actually a great point because it is the parents and gives us an opportunity to engage with the parents.
It's a community, you know, it's a community feel. We all, I mean, growing up in my neighborhood, and it's not like, in other words, we don't get nearly, you never know what we're going to get. So unfortunately, I go out and buy all this candy, and I get left eating. Some years, I'm eating it, right?
I try not to buy the kind I like anymore. Yeah.
Well, my wife and I, we just started a diet. We're like, we're not buying it until the day of it, and we're going to give it away. But also, though, Chief, in a sense, though, educating adults as well when they're driving home.
Yeah, and that it is Halloween. Drive a little slower.
I get it. We all, and it's not that, you know, we're not aware of it. I mean, you know, we're driving, but you know, there's kids out there on the street.
It's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Because when you look at the impact of post-George Floyd and what we call the Ferguson effect, where officers were not being proactive, not making car stops.
Oh, yeah.
We have fewer cops. We have that recruitment and retention. But I call that the broken windows theory of the roadway. When cops aren't proactive making stops, and I'm not saying you have to write tickets all the time, but making contacts with individuals and sending the message that we're not going to tolerate that. But we're seeing fatalities across the country have gone up. You know, when you talk about, like, the defund the police and some of those other things, this has had a real impact on public safety.
By the way, you know, the people in the poorest areas are the ones that lose out there. And they're the people that, you know, that are jumping up and down going, whoa, 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 who are we calling here?
Yes.
Like, in other words, and... You know, so I've done a lot of broadcasts with the Labor Show, and a lot of the, for example, we've done some shows with District Council 33 and some of their subunits. They 911 officers where there's a shortage. Yep. I was driving up to do the Givness show about a year ago. Never forget it. I'm driving up Henry Avenue in Roxburgh. Come around the bend, there's a tree on fire. The tree. I jump out of the car, right? And I pull up and I'm like, there's nobody around. I call 911. I get the police dispatcher who then sent me over to fire. Nobody. And so the police dispatcher got back on and he said, well, they must be on their way. And I said, well, I you know, just so you know, it's 5 minutes. The fire station is 5 minutes away from here. And so the point is, There was a lot of trickle down effect to that where we're shorthanded, and these events and what you guys are doing, not only the need but the accountability for the public. Like, in other words, you know, people need to understand, especially in this situation. I can't imagine what the stats are with people driving and stuff through, you know, trying to get home from work. But there could be issues, and you know, it's you know.
And I wanted to follow up on what Peggy said earlier. Like, on behalf of my command staff and all the members of the law enforcement profession, what Peggy and John and the Givness community has done for our – personally for me, when I lost an officer from ALS and at that time wasn't prepared and expenses.
I mean, John's on the front. Like, he is committed to the cause. It's incredible.
Yep, and he doesn't want people to know the generosity and the things that he does behind the scenes. And so I just wanted to thank Peggy and the whole Givness family, Bill Cleary and others, for things that, you know, it's a big, very big corporation, but it feels like that old neighborhood Joe Quinn funeral home where my family was all laid out in Oxford Circle.
Well, and that, by the way, that's because John is a neighborhood guy. Like, everybody here is from the community. Yeah. So that corporate does not, you know, that's not a part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said corporate. And yes, on one hand, we are a large organization and, you know, it has that corporate business feel to it. But It is very much a family. In fact, it's so weird. I was just saying the other day, anytime I go to a meeting, it doesn't feel like a meeting because everyone greets each other with a hug. And
yes.
And that's not normal nowadays in the business world. You know, everybody's afraid of the different. But that's how close we are. Like, everyone knows, you know, oh, how's your grandchild? Oh, are they walking yet? Yeah. And so the point is, I think to John's credit, he has kept that family, faith, you know, based community.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I've been here close to 30 years, because, you know, it feels like a family.
It's refreshing that they were able to maintain that.
It is.
Well,
it's
a priority.
And still be able
to
run
the back
a,
of the house
competitive
has a very corporate,
correct,
you know, a professionalism, but the mm-hmm. front of the house hasn't changed. In other words, you know, the touch, the feel, the family, and here at the Freed home, Givnish home, it's an exact example of what we're talking about. Chief, I know you have to run, but I want to run through a couple things. I thought of this, you know, so Halloween is not just Halloween night, but you have the old, and I, when we were kids growing up, the mischief night. You know, you're talking about, you know, not just adults, but kids out there, you know, sometimes going to, you know, parties and drinking and all those things. Let's talk about those safety measures as well, because unfortunately they come with it. And then also any other safety tips that are going to be offered to families. You know, kids are getting candy. They're getting, you know, going in strangers' houses. They're walking alone. Talk about a number of those.
In the days preceding Halloween, the traditional mischief nights, I have to be honest with you, we don't see that. Like
we're not trying to promote it.
Soaping cars or whatever.
Hold on, Chief. Peggy does it all the time.
Couple eggs.
Right. Yeah. Toilet paper around the trees.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Soap night.
But you don't see it as much. But what are some of the things people can do to, like, you know, curb that? You know, have more lights on? What?
Yeah. We would recommend motion lighting in the front and the back of the house. You're seeing more Ring cameras and other cameras that help us. You know, we have facial recognition. We have a lot of technologies that cases that, you know, in the last few weeks, carjacking, we had a armed robbery. Just recently, an individual entered a home and was robbing a homeowner, and the homeowner's son woke up and shot the suspect, who was also armed. We made an arrest on that, and the accomplice in Cleveland, Ohio, last night, we got the driver. Our cops are doing a lot of really good things because people have cameras on their homes,
and lock your cars,
and then we have extra officers out. We have juvenile details out there, plain clothes, that are going to be out in the area, and just call anything that doesn't look right. Call us. You know, we are waiting. We can't respond to things that we don't know. If it's a misunderstanding, we'll handle it. But I think anything looks out of place, be proactive. Call us, but do all the personal things to keep your family and your lock your doors and your cars. All these thefts for motor vehicles are all unlocked. 99% are unlocked vehicles.
Oh, really?
And your garages. You know, I live in a neighborhood, you know, that is half older people, and I just feel like they still come from the mindset that, you know, it's not going to happen here and it's safe. But I find, you might get them to lock the door and you might get them to lock the car, but I think people forget, even the younger people, to lock your garage door.
Yep, the garage door openers, they keep remote in the car. And you would have those occasionally where they break that, so you also have an override, you can lock that inside. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point.
So Chief, we really appreciate you being on the program. We thank you for what you do every day in the community, and obviously all the officers for what you're doing, not only in the community in regards to safety and policing, but, you know, the community outreach and letting people know that, you know, we're all on the same side, man. And it's what it's all about. Chief Pat Malloy, Abington Police Department, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely a pleasure.
Yep. Honor.
We're going to have more from the Givnish Spotlight Hour in just a minute.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Givens Spotlight Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. I've got a fantastic show. Obviously, we want to thank John Fried, who is fantastic, been the proprietor here at the Fried Funeral Home now, the Fried Givnish Celebration of Life location, and of course Peggy Jansen for producing the broadcast, and Chief Pat Malloy of the Abington Police Department. Fantastic segment. I'm ecstatic to bring in to the program Captain Charles Gerhardt, who is with the Welding Fire Company. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on the program. If you would, a little bit about, a little bit to our listeners about yourself, a little bit about your pathway to where you're at.
Local in the community, grew up here, went to Abington High School, Penn State for college, worked local, joined the fire company after college, and have been there ever since.
So you were you at the main campus?
I stayed at Abington.
Okay, I was going to say, did you ever go to a football game there?
I didn't. My friends told me I couldn't handle it.
Because I don't think I'd come back.
I don't know what that means, but.
Well, I see the white ad. I'm like, if I ever went there, I might not come back. First of all, Captain, we really appreciate you on coming on to the program. We're here to talk about the Halloween safety night, okay? I'm really glad that we're in a sense we have an opportunity to speak to somebody in leadership at the fire department, because as the holiday season alone comes in, okay, with the Christmas trees and a lot of stuff, there's a lot of awareness, especially in your specialty. Let's talk about the safety night what tips where your interest comes in regards to the community outreach and why it's so important to get out there and press the flesh a little bit, but also talk about these important issues and safety issues on Halloween.
Sure. So a big thing is jack-o'-lanterns. You see them out. Everyone's got the nice pumpkins out there. The candles, the hay bales close together. If you can, maybe a battery-operated or solar-powered candle versus the older style candles, just to prevent the fire from spreading or any tip over hazard. We like to see that if you can. And the bales of hay, if you can wet them down with all the dry weather we've had, not much rain in a while, something to keep in mind.
It's interesting that you say that, because my wife just bought a big one.
They look great.
Yeah, it does, but it's a good point as people, embark upon this particular holiday. When talk about the importance of getting out into the community, obviously, and kind of like I said, pressing the flesh, interacting with the families and the kids and the parents. Look forward to something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just spreading the word of caution out there. And the other thing is smoke detectors. We're going to be turning our clocks back soon. Got to make sure your batteries are up to speed with the smoke detectors. Everyone's going to be starting their heaters up. Make sure your CO detectors up and working and within date. They only last so many years.
Well, and when you talk about, like I said, the holiday season, it starts with Halloween.
Sure.
Okay. And so do you find that a lot of these incidents are preventable when you just simply talk about safety, and the precautions you're talking about?
It definitely helps. Yeah, it definitely helps to think about those items with the candles that are lit. And if you can monitor them and use battery-powered candles instead in the jack-o'-lanterns, and then, even going into Christmas, like you mentioned, keep your tree watered. Keep it away from electrical, long extension cords. Everyone's going to have lights up soon. So just things to keep in mind. And as you're going through the motions, is this safe? Are there kids around? Are there issues that could be avoided here?
You actually have – so if when we drive – you drive around, and I love to see when the neighborhoods, even now, you have a lot of, it's mostly exterior, but, you know, the lights and
sure,
all those things. Typically, you know, when you get to the Christmas tree, but people, it's actually daunting when you see how, and I don't even like to think about it, but last night, for example, there was I think my wife sent me a video. There was a big fire.
The fire in the city.
In Fairmount on Green Street.
Yeah, very big.
And what are typically, you know, especially around holidays, and I want to kind of, you know, to talk about them all. What are the main causes for, you know, certain issues with fire, in during the holiday seasons?
Cooking's a big one. Got to, you know, as you're cooking your turkey or whatever you may have, deep fryer, something to keep in mind. Heating, you know, you have an issue with your heater, you may turn to your oven in some of these neighborhoods. Just some things you may want to consider that may not be the best idea. But if we can avoid it, if, you know, we can help out, make sure, again, smoke detectors are a huge asset to have in the house. And as we start turning our heaters on with this cold weather we're experiencing, your CO detector.
I was just going to say that. Peg, hold on.
I was just going to touch base. First of all, thank you so much for being here.
Sure, no problem.
And again, not to repeat myself, but this is another reason why we've at Life Celebration by Givnish love to partner with local fire and police, because we believe the more that you are in front of the community, not just at a time of need, you know, putting out a fire, but coming to something like Halloween Safety Night. As we talked about earlier, these children are not going to come by themselves. Their parents are going to be with them. And I think it's the parents that need to be reminded, you need your smoke detector. You know, don't put candles maybe in the jack-o'-lanterns. Especially one thing I noticed that I see a lot, and I'm the mother of three grown children now who absolutely love Halloween and three wonderful grandchildren. But one thing that I see a lot is, face it, the kids' vision is not what it normally is. They have masks on. They have costumes. And especially if you have a jack-o'-lantern with a candle, I can't tell you how many kids walk by and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to catch on fire.
By the way, I was going to ask about the candles, okay? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what you were talking about, Kat. But
that was a big thing I was trying to hit on. Just the live candle and the jack-o'-lantern. If you could do a battery, like a battery tea light or some sort of solar power light, it's one less thing to have an issue with.
Right. And that's what they, meaning you, Captain, can remind the parents, like, hey, as much as we're here to promote safety for your children, we're asking you to work with us. It's all about working together. You know, you can educate the children, but it has to start with the parents to be able to reinforce those lessons at home.
What's amazing, so we had the police chief here, but when you talk about fire, it's really not easy to talk about. Literally speaking, we've heard about what happened in Fairmount a couple of years ago with the Christmas tree, and literally it happens in seconds, right?
It goes quick.
And so I say that a lot of these tips are life and death tips.
Yes, they are.
Okay, and because it happens so fast.
Fire pits. Can we bring up fire pits?
Hold on,
because
absolutely
do you not.
Not
see that a lot? In the sense that I know from our own neighborhood, a lot of times now, especially if the children get a little older, the parents are, and it's a wonderful time, don't get me wrong, but they're like putting a fire pit in the driveway and the parents will sit around and the kids just walk the neighborhood or whatever. But fire pits, I think I've seen a lot that maybe are a little bit bigger bonfires than they need to be.
It's that time of year.
A reminder that, you know, they're dangerous as well, especially if you're sitting around and then maybe had a few drinks or something and your judgment's not what it should be. I'm sure that's an issue, right? And you said about the dry weather. I wouldn't have thought, which
we haven't had rain.
We haven't really had rain. So now more than ever, those bales of hay, those corn stalks, all of those are going to go up.
The one we just got that's all over my car right now. It's the truth. We went out and got one. The thing barely fit in and my car, but it was so dry. It was breaking off like it was its job. It made me think immediately. My wife loves candles, right? And I think about, they're all over the place, right? And I was thinking about, obviously, and they're not just, you know, for Halloween, but are they in an area where things can, you know, either have or can go awry quickly?
Yeah, always a possibility with a candle, especially if there's children in the home or pets in the home. They can get knocked over. They can get, you know, forgotten about. You go to bed. There's other options. There's diffusers. There's other options besides candles that we're seeing out there that are a lot safer.
How do the communities react when the first responders come out and, you know, they get the opportunity to kind of see up close and personal, like Peggy said, not just in an absolute emergency situation, but what's that interaction like?
It's good. We get a nice warm welcome. We just had our open house at our firehouse last week. It's Fire Prevention Month. Last week we had our open house. A lot of people in the community came out. It was a nice event. We did some educating. We had some props there for people to shoot a hose, go through a smokehouse, experience, you know, potential hazards. I mean, they may have it in their own home. So it was a nice event. And the community came out, and it was just a nice night for everyone to be together. And, you know, don't be afraid of your firefighter. They're here to help you. You know, we have plain clothes. We'll wear our uniform. We'll wear our fire gear. You might not recognize us in that, but we're here to help you.
And Peggy, certainly, you know, the commitment that John Givnish and the Givnish organization has in our with our first responders. Talk about that, if you would.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, obviously today our show is based about trying to make the community aware of the fact that we do more than provide services for funerals before, during, and after, and one of them being the Halloween safety night. But we also like to partner ourselves with our police and fire departments because we see some of the issues that, you know, you're having. And we just talked about the police and trying to get the respect level back and because of misconceptions on the news. But even firefighters, I mean, I'll be honest with you, how many times lately on the news have we seen fires and they were set by the very people that were put in the position to protect us? But that's just a small portion, and we need the public to understand that, mm-hmm. that many fire companies are based with volunteers, like people that are just have regular jobs, but, you know, they're part of a volunteer fire company.
I wanted to throw in there, how has it been with, you know, like we talk about the manpower in Philadelphia. I just told a story with the 911 operators. We have a shortage. Okay. Talk about, you know, because we talked also.
Is it hard to recruit, or
how has it been with fire, with the fire department? Because obviously in police, it went, you know, especially during the pandemic and the social justice movement, like the chief said, you know, the enrollment and the applications went way down. Okay. And of course, why wouldn't it if you're listening to the media and doing all that? Thankfully, a lot of that is turned around. How's that been with the police department?
With the fire department.
I apologize.
You know, it's not as easy because no one's paid. No one gets any money. There's no monetary compensation for these guys coming out. So, like, the dispatchers, they get a paycheck.
Right.
These guys come out, could be 2 in the morning, could be 5 at night. They get out of bed. They leave their job if they can, and they come and they serve the community, and they handle the situation, whether it's a fire, a rescue, whatever it may be. They're there to help. But as far as new members coming in, it's not like it was years ago, having all these members, you know, knocking on the doors. We used to joke 15, 20 years ago, hey, the club's full. We don't have any more gear space. Now we're happy to have members come in and sign up, and whatever talent they can bring us or whatever time they can give us, we appreciate it. The other thing is training.
There's a ton
of training, and there's no compensation. These guys come out, they take off their jobs, they leave their families.
So Waldron is a volunteer?
Weldon is a volunteer. It's part of the Abington Township Fire Department. It's a volunteer.
Weldon, I apologize.
You're fine. A volunteer fire company that serves the community. No one's paid for it, but they come out. They do a ton of hours of training. Just to get initially get started, you're close to 160 hours of training. You're taking off time from work, you're leaving your family, and you're coming out to get up to the qualification level to be able to serve the community and protect them safely.
Well, no question about it. Well, you know, I can say this, you know, Captain Charles Gerhardt of the Weldon Fire Company, we really appreciate, obviously, you being here today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And, of course, you know, what you do every day in the community, and also obviously for participating in the safety night. It's much appreciated.
Sure. Very much.
Let's have a safe holiday season.
Absolutely.
Yes, here's to it.
We'll have more from the Giving the Spotlight Hour in just a minute.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Giving Spotlight Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. Been a fantastic show. Appreciate Captain Charles Gerhardt of the Weldon Fire Company being here, and of course Chief Pat Malloy of the Abington Police Department. Bringing back in John Freed here of the Freed Givenish Life Celebration Home, and of course our producer and co-host Peggy Jansen. We're going to wrap it up, and a fantastic show. John, just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on just having, you know, the safety, the Halloween safety night for the community, and you know, and bringing the first responders into it.
Well, bringing the first responders into it was easy, since I'm a member of Weldon. It was easy to reach out to the chief, Keith Maslin, and say, hey, we need a truck, and he was more than willing to help us. Weldon has always been like that. They've always stepped up when the community has needed them, not only in firefighting, but also in community service like this. So that was neat. That was the easy part. But getting the whole community out, you know, to see the trucks, to see the police dogs that Pat is going to bring.
Oh, yeah, Pat, the police dogs.
The police dogs, you know, it's just a way to bring the community out and not have them necessarily fear coming to a funeral home, because they're coming to it for a happy time rather than a sad time. So it's a lot nicer to have them come this way. They can get used to us from a happy standpoint. So when they do have to come to us, when we serve them, they may not feel as intimidated or as emotional not wanting to be here. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point too, because right. Face it, it is Halloween. It is Halloween safety night. We are a funeral home. And many times people may think, what do you have, a spook? It's not like that.
Right.
It truly is a Halloween safety night.
Yeah, no question about it. One thing we want to make sure people know, it's not a haunted house.
It is not.
It's not. And certainly, you know, it's
We will be happy to give tours of the funeral home, but all the lights will be on.
Right, exactly.
There are no ghosts or goblins that are going to come out of the corners. But if they want to see the funeral home, we'd be more than happy to give them a tour.
Absolutely. And you know, when we think about it, and this is just a part of it, what I love is it's community outreach, you know, for a very, very good reason, to do it. What we're going to do is we're going to, wrap things up here. John, first of all, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the hospitality and what
you're
doing.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Peggy, if you will, I know we only have a couple minutes left. You want to look at the flyer and talk about the dates again.
Just reminding everyone that the date is Friday, October 25th. We're going to have them not only here at the Freed Givenish in Glenside, but the Kraft Givenish Abington, John Givenish in Philadelphia, the Beck Givenish in Levittown, and the McGee Givenish in Southampton. We welcome anyone to come. The event is from 5 to 8, and, of course, parents obviously accompany your children, because it's going to be a great time for all.
Awesome. Well, listen, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the Givenish Spotlight. I want to thank John Givenish for making it happen, giving us the platform. Of course, John Freed, and our producer, Peggy Jansen, of course, and our co-host, and of course, our guests, Chief Pat Malloy, Chief Chief of the Abington Police Department, and Captain Charles Gerhardt and Welding Fire Company for all being on the broadcast, but all contributing to the Halloween Safety Night. On behalf of Peggy Jansen, John Freed, John Givnish, and, of course, all of our listeners, thanks so much for joining us.